You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." The title of my message is A Passionate People. After I selected that title, I began to have some misgivings. The word passionate suggests scenes that we see far too often on television. I certainly don't want to give the impression that I approve of those scenes. Much of what is seen on TV is hostile to what the Bible teaches about love and marriage. Many of those so-called love scenes don't really present love at all. They show very self-centered people satisfying their own emotions. Maybe that's why some people have replaced the word love with the word relationship. "I'm involved in a relationship," they say, instead of saying, "I'm in love." A relationship is a lot colder, more distant than falling head over heels in love. It's ironic that with such a glut of so-called love scenes on TV, many viewers don't know what real love is all about. As I was mulling over whether or not I should use this title, A Passionate People, something dawned on me. Just as people have made the mistake of turning romantic love into something cold, calling it a relationship, they've done the same thing with God. We have forgotten that God is not someone with whom we simply have a relationship. God wants our love. You remember what God said to the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation? He said, "I have this against you, that your love is not what it was at first." So I decided to stick with the title, A Passionate People. My message is about loving God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength. That is what he requires. He said it in Deuteronomy here, and later in chapter 30. Psalm 119, verse 2 says, "Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart." Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." In the New Testament, Jesus repeated the call for this totally consuming love of God. When an expert in the Jewish law asked him, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." Consider these words of Jesus, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The message is consistent throughout the entire Bible. God wants your love, heart, body, and mind. Doesn't that make us look cold and distant? Can you describe your life with God as a consuming and passionate love for Him? Would I be more accurate to describe it as a relationship, an off and on again relationship? We may give God an hour of worship a week, but are we totally attentive? We may listen to religious programs, but is that sometimes nothing more than background noise while our real attention is on something else? We may give Him our offerings, thinking that we have given to Him when in fact He has given it all to us. We, limited human beings, are unable to give Him our constant devotion. So we imagine that we are above reproach when we give him a thought here, a little worship there, and now and then a prayer. Prayer is one place where we can readily see how cold and distant our love so easily becomes. People who are in love talk and listen to one another. If someone is not by nature a talker, and I've discovered that a lot of us men are not talkers, then love prompts us to learn how to talk. Likewise, our devotion to the one we love prompts us to listen to what they have to say. Those of you who are parents of children may have had an experience that is common to many couples. After months and years of having your time and talk occupied with the raising of your children, you find yourself alone with your spouse. What a strange feeling that can be. You've been so preoccupied with the children that you have to learn again how to talk with one another, how to listen, how to love. I think it's the same way between you and God. How is your prayer life? Can you speak with God at length? Can you speak your own prayers? Or are you confined to prayers that someone else has written? Love also means listening. Can you sit for long periods of time with the Bible open before you and hear what God has to say? We are paying a terrible price for having neglected the language of love with our God. That price is that too many people today are living without any certainty. Let me illustrate this. I've been a pastor for 15 years, and I've often had conversations that go something like this. Something, I say, is right or wrong. Right or wrong depending upon what the topic happens to be. Then the person I'm talking with says, "Well, that's your opinion, Pastor." "No," I say, "it's in the Bible. I can show it to you." "Oh, well, that's your interpretation. The Bible was written a long time ago. It's been translated so many times that no one is sure of what it really means." That's the way a lot of people think. They're wrong, and I'll return to that later. For now, consider what that kind of thinking does. The notion that nobody can know for sure what the Bible says and what God wants leaves people with no certainty in life. Once you've cut yourself off from the words and will of God, you're moving yourself away from the certainty of His love for you. When you move away from the certainty of His love because you don't trust His words of love in the Bible, you easily become cynical and suspicious. You may feel alienated. You are unsure of the future. You find yourself living for now, pouring your energies into relationships that deep down in your heart of hearts you fear will only disappoint you. Our society really does reflect the scenes we see on TV. We are paying the price for foolishly imagining that the Almighty Creator, who has lavished so much upon us, is satisfied with only a relationship. How far we have fallen from true and certain love. The Bible says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. That's what we want, a passionate and satisfying love of God, a love that hears His word and accepts it as true, a love that talks to Him, a love that talks about Him, a love that moves joyously and confidently into the future, not because we know the future, we don't, but because we move forward with God. What is it that is keeping us from that love? Maybe you've heard the story about the husband and wife who were alone in the car. The wife was complaining that their marriage was not as romantic as it had been. She said, "We used to sit so close together in the car." The husband looked at her and said, "Dear, I'm not the one who has moved." When it comes to God, You and I are the ones who have moved away. God's love for us hasn't changed. He wants us back with Him. That's what we call repentance. The Old Testament book of Joel says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love." There's the way back to real love. Now we're at a very critical point in this message. I could hammer away about how you and I ought to love God more. The reason I won't do that is because you can't force love. Real love for God is drawn not by force, but by marvelous wonder at all He's done for us. It's the gospel, the good news of God's forgiving love in Jesus Christ, that moves us to His love. We cannot return to a passionate love of God simply by trying harder with our own energies to love Him. We confess that we can't force ourselves to love God, but rather we love Him because of the great love He has showered upon us. We love because He first loved us. God's love for humanity is not the result of anything lovable in us. In speaking about God's love for the ancient people of Israel, Deuteronomy 7 says, "The Lord did not set His affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath He swore to your forefathers that He brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." God didn't love Israel because of any merit in them. Quite the opposite. Their condition prompted Him in great love to save them from slavery in Egypt. The same today. Our merits have not caused God to love us. Quite the opposite. Our sins have moved us so far from a passionate love and communion with God that He was moved in His love to give us a Savior. Jesus Christ shows by His life, His passion and death, and His resurrection how much God loves you. St. Paul says, "God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And it is only that abundant love of God in Christ that can draw us into a passionate love of God. St. John says, "To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve His God and Father, to Him be glory and power forever and ever." Those are passionate words of people who have been loved by God. About this love, we are certain. You remember that I spoke earlier about people who think we can't really know for sure what the Bible means? There are some passages about which the scholars are in doubt. But the vast majority of passages, I repeat, the vast majority of passages are clear and understandable. The passages that talk about sin and God's forgiveness, the passages that talk about His Holy Spirit that can inflame our cold love, the passages that tell us to lose our life for Christ and the gospel, these are clear passages about which there is no doubt in interpretation. The doubt creeps in not from the Bible, but from our failure to listen to Him who loves and saves us. The Word is clear. And the Word offers you the certainty of His love for your life. That is why God said, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." People who are in love talk. Because God loves us, we can love Him. We can talk with absolute certainty about that love. Now a closing thought. A provocative thought, I hope. What would happen to your life if you strove to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength? Instead of spreading your energies upon all the things of life, you decided to redirect your greatest energies toward God. There is, after all, nothing greater than God. So, if you have God's love, what else do you really need? Nothing. God's love is everything. Amen.